Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
There it is, that funky game show music. It's time once again for the Catholic Answers Game Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. And our in-studio guest is Carla Roussard, apologist here at Catholic Answers and author of the forthcoming book, Purgatory Is For Real. Hello, Carla. Thanks
Hello,
for coming back.
Hello, Cy. Thanks for having me back.
We always have a lot of fun with you when we do the game show.
Well, thank you. I have fun too, man. I'm honored to be a part of it.
There's two things that people like when you're on. One, your super intelligent and helpful answers. and you know the other thing.
What's that?
You know
what? Oh, man, my pig Latin?
Yes,
come on.
Your pig Latin. Those are the two favorite things. We have our contestants on the line. Our contestants in general, unless there's some special occasion, like there's going to be some students in town or something, and we have them on, come from the Radio Club. So you can join Radio Club. Just send an – well, now, how do you want people to join Radio Club? Marie will tell me in a minute how she – because I don't think she does want emails. You got another way. But let's meet our contestants from Radio Club. First, contestant number one is James. James, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello, James, and welcome. By the way, where are you playing from today, James?
I'm playing from the Dallas, Texas area.
All right, Texas in the house. Very good, James. So what's interesting about you, James?
Well, I have been married 38 years, Catholic for 36, four kids, two grandkids. I'm hoping that the audience will say a prayer for me. They're about to form another diaconate class here in the Dallas area sometime in the next year, and I really want to join that, but I've got a couple of obstacles on that, so any prayers would be greatly appreciated.
I'm sure there are many praying for you right now, James.
Thank you. The other thing that, and not to grab too much time, but I am looking for, I'm a financial services professional. I work in compliance in a bank, and I am looking for other Catholic financial professionals. I don't know if there's an organization out there, something kind of not too much different from the National Catholic Bioethics Center, but
Wait.
I'm also looking for something like but in this case, it's something like the National Catholic Financial Center.
Yes.
That would deal with.
That is such a brilliant idea. I feel like I've heard that idea somewhere before, James.
Well, and I just feel like one small person asking, it's like, is there something like that out there? And are there Catholic financial professionals that would be interested in some kind of guild, almost like the Guild of St. Matthew?
Yeah, you know, I wonder if people have that idea, because and I was teasing James about it because I wrote a letter about it to the Radio Club that I thought we needed a National Catholic Financial Ethics organization, just like we had a biological ethics one, because financial instruments have become so complex that they actually have ethical implications.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know all about this, James, working at a bank, that the ethical implications are very complex, and we need people who can answer questions about that. If anybody would like to do something like that, just send me an email here. And James, I'm sure we've got your email address. I would forward them on to you.
Yes.
If anybody would like to start thinking about forming a national Catholic organization to consider financial matters, send it to radio@catholic.com. You can also send it to ckellett@catholic.com. That's mine, but it's easier to spell radio. You won't get that wrong. Thanks, James, for bringing that up.
I
appreciate that.
Sure thing.
And I hope we get some response. Contestant number two, Steve, are you there with us?
Most definitely.
Okay, don't try to start a Catholic apostolate, all right? We've already had one guy try to start one on this show. Where are you calling us from today, Steve?
Cedro Woolley, Washington.
Oh, all right. All right. So we have two extremes, the South in Texas and the Northwest in Washington. Steve, what's interesting about you?
Well, I just retired from 35 years of teaching last year.
Wonderful. Congrats.
Right in the middle of the pandemic. And so for my last year of teaching, I decided to stand in the hallways between classes and do a pun a day. And so I started doing that, like I held the bale of hay out in the hallway and yelled, "Hey!" at the kids. And
oh my gosh. Like they must be so sorry and they lost you as a teacher. That's wonderful. Give me another one.
And it went viral.
Oh, it did.
I was seen by over 28 million people on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. In fact, I have my puns on Instagram. And
can you give us your Instagram handle so we can go check them out? Or no?
Yeah, it's MaxSteve75.
MaxSteve75. Okay. Well, that's wonderful. 35 years a teacher.
Yeah.
You were going to spell it. Go ahead. That's all right. You can spell it.
That's M-A-C, Steve, and then 75, all one word.
All right. Okay. I'm going to go over the rules. You guys ready for the game show rules, and then we'll start playing?
Sure.
All right, let me tell those at home, it's time to get your pencils and paper, gather everybody around the kitchen table, in the den, out in the garage, wherever your family gathers, get grandma and grandpa, get the kids. It's time to play the Catholic Answers Game Show, and we love it when you play along at home. These are the rules. There are two contestants, and there are three segments of the game show. The first two involve multiple choice questions. The last segment, which is called Final Judgment, involves true or false questions. The winner of the first two segments goes on to Final Judgment. The other we send home, we call that other person the, what is it, Marie? Loser, correct. We're not giving a trophy to everybody. So you get in the course of the two first rounds, you will get two afterlife lines. Before you go to Final Judgment, you get to use up your two afterlife lines. The first afterlife line is you can ask Carlo to please eliminate one wrong answer. That'll give you a 50-50 choice. So there's an A, B, and C. He eliminates C, and you know it's either A or B. In the other afterlife line that you have, you can simply ask Carlo to give you the correct answer. Is everybody clear on all of that?
Uh-huh. Yes, we are.
Okay. One other thing, though. When Carlo gives you the correct answer, he has to do so in Pig Latin. Do either of you speak Pig Latin?
It's been a long time.
All right. Well, it's always entertaining when Carlo speaks Pig Latin. And so if we get to the last question and you have not yet used that lifeline, I may beg you to use that lifeline so we get to hear more Pig Latin. Once again, if at the end of two rounds, one person is ahead, that person will go on to Final Judgment. If, however, we are tied, then James, as contestant number one, will pick either box A or box B. We'll look inside of it, and it will tell us who goes on to Final Judgment. All right, James and Steve, you ready to start playing?
Yes,
definitely.
All right. I hope everybody at home has their pencil and paper ready and has called Grandma and Grandpa, kids around the table, and are ready to go. Question number one is for you, James. What is public revelation? Oh, by the way, I will read both questions twice so that those playing at home will get a chance. So we don't want to get the answer out too quick. So give them a chance at home. James, what is public revelation? A, the revelation of God in nature. B, the revelation of God which ceased with the death of the last apostle. Or C, the revelation of God that came before the specific revelation of Jesus. James, what is public revelation? A, the revelation of God in nature. B, the revelation of God which ceased with the last apostle. Or C, the revelation of God before the specific revelation of Jesus.
Sorry, I'm going to go with B.
That is correct. This good James, right? We're talking
to James.
James,
yeah.
Okay, good job, yeah. James. That is right. You got it right, brother. So the Catechism in paragraph 66 affirms, it's a quote from De Verbum, section 4, that no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But within the theological tradition, it's commonly held that public revelation ceased with the death of the last apostle. So subsequent to that, no new public revelation until the second coming of Christ. So good job, James. Kudos to you.
All right, Steve, your first question, and I will read it twice for those playing at home. Catholics believe angels are A, spirits, but not persons, B, symbols of God's power, or C, persons of a purely spiritual nature. Steve, Catholics believe angels are A, spirits, but not persons, B, symbols of God's power, or C, persons of a purely spiritual nature.
I believe in C.
Good job, Steve. That's right. Psi, persons of a purely spiritual nature. It's interesting, in the Catechism, paragraph 329, in its section on angels, it's quoting Augustine saying that angel, the term angel, refers to the office.
Ah, yeah.
Spirit refers to their nature. These are purely spiritual creatures, as the Catechism states in paragraph 330, that have intelligence and will. Hence, they are persons of a purely spiritual nature, but we call them angels because in the Bible, such beings are revealed to be messengers, right?
Yeah.
For God, to relay messages. So, but in our common parlance, we use the term angel to refer to that being such that it is a purely spiritual being of intelligence and will.
All right, we're all tied up 1-1, but we are at the first break. We got to take a quick message break. We'll be right back to continue round one with our contestants. I almost said guests, but our contestants, James and Steve, on the Catholic Answers Game Show right after this.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The best way to pray is simply to open our minds and our hearts to God, to allow His presence to begin to fill us, to restore us, to refresh us, to make us new. The best way to pray is simply to be aware of that presence and to say yes to it, to give fiat to that presence as our Blessed Lady did. In that way, we delight in prayer and God Himself delights in us.
Oh, yeah. Catholic Answers Game Show. I'm Cy Killett, your Catholic game show host. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Our contestants are James in Texas and Steve in the state of Washington. We're all tied up one to one in round one, and both of them still have their after lifelines intact. You wanted to say one other thing about angels. You left one word off, which is a little bit important.
At the end, I said a being such that's purely spiritual with intelligence and will, and I was defining, using that definition with regard to angels, but of course that applies to God as well. So we'd have to say a being, a finite being,
right,
such that it's purely spiritual with intelligence and will. That's an angel.
Because God, of course, is not finite.
He is infinite.
All right, so your second question, James, I'll read it twice for those playing at home. James, a human person is A, an individual substance of a rational nature. B, a rational soul that is trapped within a body. Or C, a rational individual, but not a substance. A human person, James, is A, an individual substance of a rational nature. B, a rational soul that is trapped within a body. Or C, a rational individual, but not a substance.
You know, Cy, I'm going to have to ask for a lifeline on this one. Can I get Carlo to eliminate one wrong answer?
Okay.
All right. I am going to eliminate B, a rational soul that is trapped within a body.
Okay. So it's either A, an individual substance of a rational nature, or C, a rational individual but not a substance?
Wow, that didn't help.
I was kind of thinking the same thing. Carla left you with two tough ones.
Yeah, no, that should have asked for the Pig Latin. Teaches me a lesson. I am going to go with C.
Oh, yeah, and the problem with C is that it's saying a human person is not a substance. A human person is a substance. It's a substantial being, right?
Because there's only two ways of being, as a substance or as an accident.
That is correct. Size, the substance, and the gray hair is the accident.
You didn't have to pick that one.
I got it. Now, don't feel too bad here because, Cy, I got to say, this question...
That's a really tough one.
This was a little bit ambiguous here because I missed this in the preview. Because
we're a complex substance?
Notice, an individual substance of a rational nature, it is true that a human person is an individual substance of a rational nature. But an individual substance of a rational nature can apply both to human person and angelic person.
Yeah.
Right. So that one was a bit tricky there. So Boethius gives us the definition. He was a philosopher of the early 6th century, giving us the definition of a person, an individual substance of a rational nature.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to move on, even though you said my question wasn't very good. Steve, your question number two. God created the world, A, as the best world he could possibly create, B, in a state of journeying towards perfection, or C, in a fallen state. I got to read that one more time, Steve. God created the world, A, as the best world he could possibly create, B, in a state of journeying toward perfection, or C, in a fallen state.
Well, I can't see him not creating the best he could do, so I'm going to go A.
Oh, yeah.
He could have done better.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but he could have done
better. That's right. Because God is infinite and the world he creates is finite, there can always be a world that has more goodness than the world he has created. Now, it is true that there's a specific perfect order of this world that he's created, given the ends that he desires to achieve in creating the world. But with regard to there being a best possible world that he could possibly create, that's impossible. Because
God's infinite. He could always put one more good thing in it.
That's right. It can always be better. Now, the correct answer, James, was be in a state of journeying toward perfection. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches this in paragraphs 302 and 310. And that's a key. That's actually, 310 is a beautiful, succinct explanation that grounds or gives a rationale for the problem of evil. Because given that God in his infinite wisdom saw the good in creating the world in a state of journeying toward perfection, that allows for generation and corruption. Some things to come into being, some things to go out of being, what we call in philosophy natural evils. And that's key for responding to the atheistic challenge to theism from the problem of evil. So that's a great paragraph there, paragraph 310.
Yeah, and both of those were very, very hard questions.
They were. But sometimes people say,
I make them too easy, and then I came up with these two that are like, oh my gosh, those are impossible.
Yeah, you're geeking out philosophically.
There was no temptation in his voice to choose God created the world in a fallen state, because that is just absolutely wrong. Right. God does not create things that are morally deficient.
That's right. The fallen state that we find ourselves in is due to the original sin of Adam and Eve.
Okay, we're still tied, so let's go back to contestant number one, James. James, excommunication means A, a person is condemned to hell unless they repent, B, a person is labeled as evil, or C, a person is excluded from the communion of believers. Once again, James, excommunication means A, a person is condemned to hell unless they repent, B, a person is labeled as evil, or C, a person is excluded from the communion of believers.
Well, I'm going to go with C, excluded. excluded from the communion of believers.
Good job, James. Excellent. Yeah, paragraph 1463, the catechism there talks about excommunication, identifying it as an ecclesiastical penalty which impedes the reception of the sacraments and the exercise of certain ecclesiastical acts. So you're excluded from participating of the benefits of the covenantal family of God.
But the church is not saying you're evil or that you're going to hell.
Not necessarily, because only God can judge. Now, the excommunication is going to be due to a grave, serious offense against God.
Or at least a perceived grave.
On the objective level, it will be a grave, serious offense. But whether that individual is fully culpable for that grave matter, right, that grave offense, only God has access to that. So that's where the full knowledge and the deliberate consent comes in,
right,
in order for committing the grave offense to incur the mortal guilt. But an excommunication is always associated with some grave, serious offense, like a venial sin.
But the reason I said perceived is that a bishop can actually make a mistake. Right, a bishop could excommunicate on bad information.
That's right. The excommunication is not some infallible decree that's preserved from all error.
All right, heading on for your final question, and this is the final question of round one for Steve. Steve, solidarity means A, sharing all our goods in common as is done in a monastery, B, giving to institutions rather than giving directly to the poor, or C, actively praying and working for the good of others, especially those in need, because they are our brothers and sisters. Solidarity means A, sharing all our goods in common as is done in a monastery, B, giving to institutions rather than directly to the poor, or C, actively praying and working for the good of others, especially those in need, because they are our brothers and sisters.
I would go with C.
You would be correct.
Thank God you didn't ask me to do Pig Latin, because that would have been a long one.
I didn't even think about that.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, for our listeners out there, they can check out the catechism explanation on solidarity in paragraphs 1939 to 1942. Has a great explanation on that. So,
and we're all tied up 2-2 after one round. I've got time to move directly into round two, and I better do that because we've been chatting and having fun. We got to get some questions answered. All right, you both, you're tied up. However, one lifeline was used, and Marie, that was used by Steve or James?
That was used by me. This is James.
Oh, James used it. Okay, so James has one lifeline left, the Pig Latin lifeline. Round two, starting with contestant number one, James. James. Oh. I hope he doesn't use the Pig Latin one on this one. All of the answers are long on this. The common good is, all right, I guess I got a little bit social justice-y on this quiz. The common good is A, the sum total of social conditions which allow people, either as groups or as individuals, to reach their fulfillment more fully and more easily. Or B, when society does the most good for the most people. Or C, the effort by society to limit wealth disparity between people. Once again, the common good is A, the sum total of social conditions which allow people either as a group or as individuals to reach their fulfillment more fully and more easily. B, when society does the most good for the most people. Or C, the effort by society to limit wealth disparity between people.
All right, so I've got to go for the Pig Latin.
Oh, no. We might have to give him a break and just have him do some of this. So,
all right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Yes.
Heite, umse, otalte, foe, oshose, ondishenske.
You are killing this.
Hitchwe, loai, ioplei, pay.
Either as groups or as individuals. Go ahead from there.
Ote, itre, herte, ofilmente.
All right, you've done enough. That's enough work.
Indie,
I hate to say it, but Carlo has gotten good at Pig Latin. All right,
baby.
You know which one that is? Is it the sum total one, or when society does the most good, or the effort by society?
I believe it's A.
You are correct. It's A.
Amen.
Go ahead, Carl. You want to say anything about that one, or are you tired of that question?
No, it's a quote from Pacem in Terris, an encyclical by Pope John the 23rd from 1963, and the Catechism's quoting it in paragraph 1906 there. And it actually goes on to give a little brief explanation of the common good and the three elements that the common good presupposes: respect for the person, requires social well-being and development of the group, and requires peace, stability, and security of a just order.
It's important that both groups are and individuals are mentioned where they're not in B, however, because if you just say the most good for the most people, that could mean holding some people in slavery because other people get the most good out of that. So right. you did a good job on that one. All right, let's see if we can get question number two in for you, Steve. Material cooperation with evil is A, not always sinful, B, worse than formal cooperation with evil, or C, always sinful. Material cooperation with evil, Steve, is A, not always sinful, B, worse than formal cooperation with evil, or C, always sinful.
This is all still too close. I'm going to go with the Pig Latin on this, too.
All right, we're going to do the Pig Latin when we come back. We'll take a quick break because we got the music for the break playing. It's the Catholic Answers Quiz Show, Game Show. Carla Broussard, our guest. I'm Cy Killett, your game show host. We'll be right back.
Catholic Answers Live.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
To many people, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the Church. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I'll give you the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Make me a channel of your peace.
Wow, that was beautiful. We want to hear what your favorite church hymns are.
That's Monday on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Game Show. Welcome back. We're actually in the middle of a question. We don't usually go to a break right in the middle of a question, but we had to that time. And so we'll get a little Pig Latin now. The question in front of Steve right now, question number two of round two, is about cooperation with evil. And I will read it again, and then Carlo will give the correct answer in Pig Latin, and then you got to identify which correct answer that is. Material cooperation with an evil. A, is not always sinful. B, is worse than formal cooperation. Or C, is always sinful. Carlo, give him the correct answer in Igpe Atenle.
All right, here we go. C-A, Atne, Lues Sae, Infolse.
All right, you need me to go over the answers again, or you got that one?
Yeah. That was A, not always sinful.
Okay,
yeah,
you got it.
Good job. I was trying to...
How can cooperation with evil be not sinful? How can that ever happen, Carlo? Well, explain that to me.
It's a material cooperation, which, when remote enough, it does not constitute an evil, right? Now, you could have material cooperation that is sinful. If I give you money to go and perform some intrinsically evil action, right? Yeah. Or I give you the gun to go and commit the murder,
right?
That would be a material cooperation, but that would be evil, right? Giving you the materials that you need in order to perform the action. But when it is remote, and it does kind of get a little gray, like how remote is it? And that's where you need some good moral philosophy there. But it is true that it can be such that the material cooperation is remote enough that you in no way incur the guilt of sin, such that you go and buy some cough syrup at the store, but it just so happens that the money for that cough syrup, for the company who made that cough syrup, has happened to be using that money for bad things, right?
Yeah.
That would be a remote material cooperation that you would not incur the guilt of sin. Now, you might want to exercise heroic virtue and not buy that cough syrup or whatever.
Right.
But it wouldn't be sinful to buy the cough syrup.
You know? All right. Question number, your second question of round two, James, second question of round two. Murder in the course of war, A, is acceptable if undertaken for grave reasons. B, is not evil because war involves killing. Or C, is a grave evil. Once again, for those playing along at home, this is a kind of harsh question if you're playing along at home, but here it is nonetheless. Murder in the course of war, A, is acceptable if undertaken for grave reasons. B, is not evil because war involves killing. Or C, is a grave evil.
So it feels like the key on this is when you talk about murder as opposed to just killing.
Yeah,
and so,
you're on the right path.
Oh, yeah. You got a little help there from Carla. Okay, so, yes, that's...
I'm thinking it was C that was the answer that said it was always sinful.
It's a grave evil. Yeah, you got it.
Good job, James. Okay. Excellent reasoning there, brother. Yes, a distinction must be made between the natural species or the natural act of an act of killing,
right,
and murder being a voluntary act of killing an innocent human being,
right,
which at all times and all circumstances should never be done because it's intrinsically evil. And this gets back to the common good. As St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, because an innocent human being is a chief part of the common good.
Yes.
Right?
You can't just attack.
And so in as much as you attack an innocent human being or kill an innocent human being, it's a violation or attack against the common good.
Yeah. Yeah. You did a really good job on that one, because it just, as Carlos said, and as you said, killing and murder, these don't mean exactly the same thing.
That is
correct. These two words don't mean exactly the same thing. And so just to give an example, I mean, if someone is fighting against a fellow combatant on the other side, then that's killing. But if someone's just in wartime walking down the road and fires indiscriminately into a group of civilians, that's just murder. It's in the context of a war setting, but that's just murder. And you can't do that. Okay. Your second question of round two, Steve. Which of these is the source and summit of Christian life? A, baptism. B, the Eucharist. C, heaven. Steve, which of these is the source and summit of the Christian life? A, baptism. B, the Eucharist. C, heaven.
Well, the obvious answer would be heaven. So I'm going to go on a limb and say C, Eucharist.
Good job, Steve. Eucharist, yes. Lumen Gentium, section 11, quoted by the Catechism in paragraph 1324. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life because it's Jesus.
Yeah, right. It's from him that our Christian life flows, and he is the highest reward of our Christian life.
He is the telos. He's the great end to which we're all directed for human happiness.
Man, you guys are killing it with the logic today. All right, let's the final question of round two. This is the final question for James of round two. James, the communion of saints refers to A, the canonized saints who can be honored at Mass, B, all of the saints in heaven, whether they've been canonized or not, or C, all of those who have been made children of God by Christ, whether in heaven, on earth, or in purgatory? James, once again, the communion of saints refers to A, the canonized saints who can be honored at Mass. B, all of the saints, whether in heaven, all of the saints in heaven, whether they are canonized or not. Or C, all of those who have been made children of God by Christ, whether in heaven, on earth, or in purgatory.
Okay, so I know it's definitely not just A.
Okay.
A is a part of that. And so I'm trying to choose between B and C, whether it's all saints regardless of canonization or if it's all people. I'm going to go with C.
Awesome. Good job, James. That was some great reasoning, brother. Yep, Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 954 to 955, articulates the communion of saints as including all those members of the mystical body of Christ, which are present in heaven, on earth, or also in purgatory. Hence, my book, Purgatory is for Real, where I'll articulate
on sale
that.
Now at shop.catholic.com.
That is not a shameless plug. That is a plug.
That's just
right?
A plain old plug, yeah.
Yeah, because the souls in purgatory are indeed members of the mystical body of Christ. They're guaranteed their salvation. They're part of the elect. And so consequently, they're members of the communion of saints.
All right. Final question of round two goes to you, Steve, and then we'll add up the points and see who's going on to final judgment. Steve, a Catholic patient choosing euthanasia or medical suicide, A, cannot be given the sacraments unless they repent, B, can receive confession before dying, C, can receive all of the sacraments to help them as they go to God. Let me do that one more time, Steve. Your final question. A Catholic patient choosing euthanasia or medical suicide, A, cannot be given the sacraments unless they repent, B, can receive confession before dying, or C, can receive all of the sacraments to help them as they go to God.
Okay, I think I have a good idea, but since I've got a lifeline, I'm going to go ahead and use the one where Carlo could eliminate one of the
all right.
Incorrect
answers. Let's eliminate one wrong answer, Carlo.
All right. I'm glad we have that option.
Because one of these is problematic.
Yeah,
I just realized that as I read it.
Is. Yeah. So I'm going to eliminate B, yeah. Steve. So all you got is A and C. Go ahead, Si.
All right. A Catholic patient choosing euthanasia or medical suicide, either A, cannot be given the sacraments unless they repent, or B, can receive...
No, or C.
Or excuse me, or C can receive all, I was reading C, but I said B, sorry. C can receive all the sacraments to help them as they go to God. Which one is it?
I'm going to say A.
Good job, Steve. Yes.
You are correct. As a matter of fact, this was reiterated. It was in the news this week because the Vatican made a big deal about this.
Yeah, just released a letter. Samaritanus, my Latin there is horrible, Samaritanus Bonus, the Good Samaritan, where it reiterates the condemnation of any form of euthanasia and assisted suicide.
It seems to me like we got a tie. Yeah, we got a tie. So that means we're going to go to James to break the tie. We have tied after two rounds out of six questions, each got five correct answers. There's a box next to Carlo, or between Carlo and I, there are two boxes. One of them is A and one of them is B. Inside that box, it tells us what we are going to do next. One of you is going to go on for final judgment. The one leaving will, however, get both of Carlo's currently published books, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, and will also receive Meeting the Protestant Challenge, Answering 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Belief.
How
to answer 50. And you know what? I'm going to throw in Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother, because he just walked into the studio to check up on us. So the person going home will get those three books. So, James.
My wife,
in other words, we will have won anyway.
Yeah, you're going to win either way. James, your wife said what?
No, Steve.
No,
my wife is currently reading Behold Your Mother.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic.
All right, you pick A or B, James.
Gosh, it's it the last time I listened to this was before the COVID lockdown, and it feels like there was always, it was always either A or B, but now for the life of me, it's, since that was 20 years ago, I can't remember.
Nah.
And so I mean, literally it feels like 20 years ago, even though it was 6 months, but I'm going to go with B.
All right, let's see what it says behind B, James. It says, congratulations, you advance. James, you are going on to your final judgment. Steve, I hate to let you go, but you get the three books, and you're very lucky that Tim Staples walked in right as we were giving out prizes. So
he has to check on his protege.
Good job, James.
Yeah, good jobs to both of you. Extraordinary.
Great.
Yeah, those were hard questions. We got to take a break. We'll come back to participate in James's final judgment.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
All right, Carla. Pay attention, Carla. We're back to the game show. I know when Tim Staples comes in, the two of you start talking about some arcane, I don't know if it's arcane, but some aspect.
It's not arcane.
It's not arcane what you were discussing.
I got to refocus here, man.
I was enjoying time on the phones with James and Steve. James, you still with us? You ready for your final judgment?
Yes, I am.
All right. Are you as ready as you're going to be when you get to the actual final judgment?
I hope so.
I hope so too, brother. I hope we all are. All right, so here's how it goes. Seven questions. Each question is a true or false question. For each one you get right, you get a prize. And if you get all seven right, we add to that your list of prizes a $50 shopping spree at shop.catholic.com, where Carlo Broussard's book, Purgatory is for Real, is on sale for 25% off right now. Just put in the promo code REAL. All right. You ready for your seven questions?
Sure. Let's go.
All right. Do I just pick books, Maria? I can't remember if we had decided on books. Okay. Well, we'll start with Carlo's books. All right. So for question one, we'll play for Prepare the Way, Carlo's first book. You're playing for Prepare the Way. True or false? I'm going to read the question twice for those playing at home. True or false? Every soul in purgatory is a member of the Catholic Church. James, true or false? Every soul in purgatory is a member of the Catholic Church.
I'm going to go with true.
Nick forgot the music.
We got a whole symphony.
Oh, you didn't read it twice. That's why there was no music. But he got it right, so praise God.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but when you go back and listen to the tape, I did read it twice. The two of you, you don't pay attention to me. My feelings are so hurt. All right, good job.
Good job, James. Yeah, because that we actually talked about.
We kind of covered that earlier.
We covered that. I was hoping he remembered.
I was hoping he didn't remember. All right, James, you got one book. You got Prepare the Way. Carlo's second book is Meeting the Protestant Challenge. You're playing for that on this question. I'm going to read it twice. James, true or false, human dignity can only be violated in self-defense. James, true or false, human dignity can only be violated in self-defense.
I'm going to go with false.
And you would be correct,
you
James.
Are my good hero.
Job. Number you one, went... because... human dignity is not violated in self-defense. Yeah. That is, when it is an actual act of self-defense, when
it's not,
act of killing is proportionate to the end of self-defense.
Or if you have to give someone a kung fu chop.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But also,
what,
too,
I do that sometimes, Nick. I have to give people a kung fu chop.
The reason why it's false is because human dignity could be violated in other acts, such as capital punishment. That is not generally speaking, but when the punishment would be disproportionate to the crime, say. Yeah. Then human dignity in that scenario would be violated. So good job, James.
Yeah, you can't violate human dignity. Okay, so we're on question. So you have two books from Carlo. Let's go with Behold Your Mother, because that's the third one we just gave to Steve. So we'll go with question number three. You're playing for Behold Your Mother. True or false? I'm going to read the question twice. True or false? The church denies that natural marriage is possible and only accepts sacramental marriage. James, true or false? The church denies that natural marriage is possible and only accepts sacramental marriage.
I believe that's false.
Good job, James. You're right again, brother.
What if he just says he believes it? That's the answer? Or we don't have to get him to go further?
Or it is false.
Wait, we believe in natural marriage?
We believe in natural marriage, yeah. In fact, when you have a baptized person marrying a non-baptized person, that's called a disparity of cult. The Catechism talks about that, paragraph 1633. But you could also have a valid marriage between a non-baptized person and a non-baptized person.
Like two Hindu people who get married, they're really married in the eyes of the church, yeah.
Yeah, as long as they're professing and vowing to those essential elements that constitute what we call marriage, it would be a valid marriage on the natural level.
Yeah.
And of course, if they were to be baptized, then it would be elevated to a supernatural level.
All right. You have won three books. You've got three out of three so far. Let's go to question number four. Again, I'll read it twice. True or false, James? Jesus teaches that if a man marries a divorced woman, he commits adultery. True or false, James? Jesus teaches that if a man marries a divorced woman, he commits adultery.
That is true.
Amen. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, straight from Scripture. He who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
I forgot to tell you what book you were playing for, but Marie has a great list up here, and you just won Secrets from Heaven from Father Sebastian Walsh, a beautiful book of reflections on the parables and sayings of Jesus. So congratulations. You are just tearing it up so far. This question number five, you'll be playing for Joe Heschmeyer's latest book, Pope Peter, a defense of the papacy of the head of the apostles and of the papacy in general. All right, question number five, true or false? No adult can come to a state of justification without faith. True or false, James? No adult can come to a state of justification without faith.
True.
Wow. Amen to that.
You can't just do it by works? What if you do a lot of good works?
Well, works before the initial state of justification are not meritorious in any way whatsoever.
You have to have faith to be saved?
You have to have faith. Paragraph 183 in the Catechism, the Church officially affirms what Scripture explicitly teaches, right? That faith is necessary for salvation. And I would also direct our listeners to St. Thomas Aquinas in the Summa Theologiae.
Yeah.
In the first part of the second part, question 113, article 4, has a great article, a great explanation on the necessity of faith for justification.
All right. Okay. All right. Question number six. You are playing for With One Accord. With One Accord. All right. What's the question? Okay. The souls in heaven, true or false? The souls in heaven have more faith than we do. True or false, James? The souls in heaven have more faith than we do.
Well, now you throw in the hard one. True.
Oh!
So close. Souls in heaven don't have faith.
That's right. And why don't they have faith? Is because they see the divine essence. We only have the virtue of faith on this side of the veil, brother. At least this side of the veil of the beatific vision.
But there's faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The one that lasts
charity
is love.
Charity remains, faith and hope no longer exist in the soul whenever we see the divine essence in the beatific vision.
Are you too sad to go on, or can we do number seven?
No, let's keep going.
Okay, all right. That's a man with perseverance.
You're
good.
A trooper, brother.
All right, this is the one you're playing it for. We're going to send him Pope Peter. I mean, Purgatory's for real, huh? If he gets this one, he gets Purgatory's for real. Nice. Carlo's new book coming out that I have to say, Carlo, I think I said this to you before on the air. I was actually quite impressed with this. In our meeting, Todd discusses the books that are coming out, and he doesn't praise the books that are coming out. And he was effusive in his praise for this book. He really likes Purgatory is for Real.
I must say, I was very happy.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Todd's when a hard boss sale, says man. It. Yeah. That's right. But he was giving praises for the book, so I'll give the glory to God for that one. But also, I must give props to those who helped me with the manuscript. So Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples,
yeah.
And even one of our editors that Todd subcontracts out, Drew Blesky, I think his last uh-huh. name is. He was the individual who edited the manuscript. And from all three guys, and of course Todd's help as well, because he's always helping with the brainstorming, right?
Right.
So it was a team effort. So the high praises is for all of the individuals who helped me with that manuscript. So
yeah,
kudos
congratulations
to everyone.
On it.
Thank you.
I mean, because Todd is a great guy and a great editor, but he is not effusive with praise. He said something nice to me one time, and I went home and told my wife. Like,
I do the same thing.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I think Todd likes me. All right.
We love you, Todd.
Final question. True or false, James? The souls in heaven are perfected in love and incapable of suffering. True or false, James? The souls in heaven are perfected in love and incapable of suffering.
There you go. Good job, James.
I am so glad there was no delay on that. He just said true on that.
Perfect in love.
That is what we are hope. That's what our hope
incapable
is.
Incapable of suffering. No more suffering. It wouldn't be heaven and perfect happiness if there were suffering involved.
So how do you like the experience of playing the Catholic Answers game show? Would you recommend it to your friends and neighbors?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate our hospitality?
Wow, no, this has been an 11. It's been great.
An 11! Awesome!
That's awesome. I thought he was going to avert the question, but then he came back with an 11, man. That's pretty darn cool.
Do you ever
cool.
get that email after you stay in a hotel or something? We'd like you to answer 5 questions. And then they, it's like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how did the receptionist smile at you? I was like, I don't remember.
Well, I don't know now with all the masks.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't answer that question.
No, you did a great job, James. Thank you very, very much. Really appreciate your taking the time to do this with us. I hope that the thing that you asked for at the beginning of the show, where other financial professionals, you yourself, vice president of a bank, that they'll get in contact to maybe think about forming a group that can consider financial ethics, because it really is kind of super complex out there in the finance world now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Absolutely.
I do want people to feel if you're a financial professional and you're like, I'd like to be involved in a project like that. I'd like to maybe start a society or get something going with James. Just send us a note here. Send it to our email address, radio@catholic.com, radio@catholic.com, and we'll get back to you. We'll connect you with James. Okay, James?
Thank you very much.
All right. Enjoy your stack of reading material, and God bless you. Thanks for playing. That was a lot of fun, Carlo.
It sure was.
It always is fun.
Thank you for having me, brother.
We should do one. I don't know if we could do this, though. I was going to say we could do an all purgatory show when your purgatory book comes out. Just do purgatory questions. But
oh, wow.
Is it possible? I mean.
Oh, totally.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. You write the quiz. I just offloaded that on to you. Now, you think there's enough that we could ask those kind of questions?
I think so.
Do you know, I said to Father Hugh one time, I think it was on the air, I have mixed feelings about purgatory. Because the joy of salvation and knowing that you're saved, but also suffering.
Yep.
So I said, am I a bad Catholic because I have mixed feelings about purgatory? And he goes, how do you feel about this life? I've got mixed feelings about it. He goes, well, then it's fine. You're supposed to have mixed feelings until you get to heaven.
Amen to that.
So in your mind, like, do you have a mental image of purgatory? Like, or do you just have no, do you just wait and you're going to let Jesus reveal it to you?
If I were to be honest in answering that question, I would say that mentally I tend to shift toward the joyous aspect of it.
Uh-huh.
Like to me, the knowledge that my salvation is secure, absolutely speaking, absolute certitude, that's where my mind goes when I think of purgatory. And then secondarily, my mind locks on to the suffering, right? And the manifested, but as I point out in my book, there's even a joy in that, because in as much as the suffering I undergo in purgatory is manifesting the divine wisdom and the divine order of things, that in fact gives me great joy to think about that.
That
God's wisdom and order will be manifest, and thus we will be giving him glory even in the midst of our suffering.
Beautiful, Carlo. Carlo's book is Purgatory's for Real. The subtitle is
Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet.
That's all of us, Nick. That might not be you. You might be perfect. Well, you're awful good, Nick. You did a great job on that. Marie, thanks for getting us two great contestants.
Hey,
Mary, thanks for running the video. Super good work. Did you make me look good? Wow, you must be really good at video.
You're
then.
Handsome.
It was easy to make Carlo look good. Carlo, thanks. You're pretty much stuck doing the game show now. You're so good at it.
I love it, brother. Thank you for the opportunity.
Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. We'll see you next time right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seeing the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the Daily Gospel to the Rosary to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.